I want to preach tonight on this thought. Choose your battles wisely. Choose your battles wisely. Let's bow together and pray. Heavenly Father, it's good to see the house of God full on this Wednesday evening. Lord, we thank you for what you're doing. Lord, we sense in the undercurrent, Lord, that you are wanting to move in our midst. Lord, I want you to help this church and my church and others like it not to be a used to be, but that God, we would continue to seek your face and continue to believe and continue, Lord, to want you to do more. Lord, help us not just to rejoice over the past blessings, but God, help us to look ahead and see the new blessings and God, what you have for us. Lord, I pray you'll speak to our heart tonight. Lord, you know how you burn this within me. Lord, you know how you put this deep in my heart. Lord, for 33 years I have been watching this. For 33 years I have been seeing this. And Lord, you have burned it deep in my heart. Lord, I pray that you let me be a blessing to Gateway Baptist Church. Lord, you know how much I love these folk. How much of a joy it is for me to be in this pulpit for this pastor. Lord, I pray now you'll bless tonight in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. You can be seated. I want you, if you would, tonight for just a moment or two to see the life of Josiah. From 8 years old, Josiah was what he needed to be. The Bible talks about him in a good light. The Bible talks about him in doing the right things. The Bible makes much about Josiah. But Josiah came to a place in his life when he got into a battle that he didn't need to be in. Josiah got into something he ought to have stayed out of. And because Josiah got involved in a battle that he ought to have stayed out of, Josiah's ministry, if I might say, his kingship, his leadership was brought to a halt in his life because he got into somebody else's battle. Yes. You'll find that Pharaoh, Necho, hearing the word of God, was going to fight another battle. Had nothing to do with Josiah. Pharaoh Necho even said to him, Josiah, just leave us alone. We don't have a problem with you. This battle's not with you. Josiah, we're not against you. We're going to another battle. But Josiah could not keep himself out of a battle that did not belong to him. Yes. And so Josiah got involved and Josiah died. Yep. Tonight, with the help of God, I want to give you just three little simple thoughts tonight on the subject of choose your battles wisely. Sometimes it's better to mind your own business than to get involved in other people's affairs. Some battles are not worth fighting. Now, I want to say this tonight. We have battles right now in our nation that are worth fighting. The church ought to spend this time fighting for the unborn. The church ought to spend its time fighting for the family. The church ought to spend its time fighting for the right to stand and to preach the word of God. But friend, there are some battles that are not worth fighting. I want to give you tonight on this Wednesday night three principles to apply to your life. Three things to apply to your life in choosing your battles. First of all, I want you to see this. If it doesn't concern you, stay out of it. Can I get an amen? Or at least a grunt? You're making me think every one of y'all were involved in somebody else's business. Say amen, or at least smile and I'll know better. Amen. Can I say this tonight? Hey, if it doesn't concern you, stay out of it. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 11, and that you study to be quiet and to do your own business and to work with your own hands as we commandeth you. Hey, can I say this? Hey, the Bible tells us that if it's not our business, to stay out of it. If it's not our business, not to be a part of it. Hey, the Bible tells us, hey, I don't know about you, but I've got my own little red wagon to pull. I stay busy doing it myself. I've got my own battles, and I don't have time to fight the battles of everybody else. But you would be amazed of how many churches are grieved. How many churches are stunted in their growth. How many churches have division? How many churches have issues? Because people cannot mind their own business. I have people approach me often and they'll say things to me, hey, did you hear what's going on in so-and-so's church? And I said, no, and I'm not going to hear it today either. Amen. I am not a garbage dump. I am not a place to dump the trash. Hey, if it don't concern me, if it's not my church, if my name's not on the marquee, hey, Brother Davies, a pastor here, I'm not. It's not my business. It's not his business what I'm doing. Friend, that's why we're fundamental independent Baptist churches. We don't have to worry about walking under a conviction of where men tell us what to do. But we can follow God.
Amen. You're preaching right, preacher. Amen.
But Baptists struggle.
Yep.
Now, I've already felt a few darts, so I must be on track. Baptists struggle to stay out of other people's business. Of course, we've got social media. And some people make everything their business. I don't care if you're going to the bathroom. I don't care what you had to eat. I don't care if you got a booger in your nose. I really don't care. Somebody say amen. Friend, live your life. Let everybody else live their life and enjoy the journey. Life is too short to be miserable. Case in point. Sister, what's your name on the second row there? First name? Paula? Sister, what's your name right here? Yeah, you. Amy? Let's just say one Sunday morning, Amy and Paula walk in church with the same dress on. They get up in the choir that day with the same dress on. All of a sudden, Amy says to one of her friends in the choir, I cannot believe that Paula is wearing the same dress that I'm wearing today. She probably thinks she looks better in it than I do. It bothers me that Paula has got on that dress. I cannot believe that she burned a new that I'd bought that dress. Before you know it, Brother Davey walks in the service and he can't get a grunt out of nobody. Everything's grieved. Something seems wrong. And what happened was, is Amy got about 12 of her friends in church. And they're all mad at Paula. They don't know why, but they're with Amy. And then you got Paula on the other side, and she said, well, I know this, because she's got blonde hair and I got brown hair. She thinks that dress looks better on her. And before you know it, Paula done got about 15 of her friends on the other side. They walk by each other and this, Here's the deal. That was Amy and Paula's business, not yours. And can I tell you this? When Brother Davey meets somebody in his office and you see him turning to go in there, and you might be thinking, oh, Lord, have mercy. He's going to get on them. I don't know what they've done. I don't know what in the world. I wonder what's going on in their life. And friend, they might be walking in there to tell him that God had blessed them, that God had done something in their life. You have no idea. And friend, if it ain't none of your business, you're better off to stay out of it. Y'all still love me or not? You know I'm preaching true, whether you like it or not. Right? Here's what Proverbs says about this. He that passeth by and meddleth with strife belonging not to him is like one that taketh a dog by the ears. Here's what Solomon's saying, go down to Bubba's house. Bubba's got a bulldog, or maybe he's got a Rottweiler or a German Shepherd. Walk in Bubba's yard, walk over to where his dog's at, and grab his dog by the ears. And when you grab his dog by the ears, he's gonna bite your head off if you're lucky. That's what Solomon said is like when you meddle in other people's business. Now, I ain't just preaching to people go to church. God bless these preachers' hearts. I'll be honest with you, that's why I ride dirt bikes and bicycles. Praise God, listen, I'm telling you, if I don't have to be around it, I'm not going to be around it. I don't care. I'm depressed enough. I've got papers. I don't want to get no worse. I need some help, man. If I hung around some of this crowd sometime, I'd be on Xanax, Zoloft, Paxil all at the same time and allow them to bring me back to drinking. I'm telling you, I can't have nothing to do. Why? I've got enough in my own corner. I don't need to be a part of everybody else's business. Wonder how much different a church would be if everybody just mind their own business. Huh? Some of you deacons look at your wife and say, she said, what did y'all talk about? None of your business. If he wants you to know, we'll tell you. Boy, that got real quiet, didn't it? Well, I have you to know. No, you don't. I'm telling you, friend, God's work needs to be protected and it needs to be guarded. And I'm telling you, when people don't mind their own business, it's like grabbing a dog by the ears. Y'all looking at me stranger than you've ever looked at me since I preached here. You know why? Because one of y'all saying, who told him? Nobody's told me anything. I'm telling you, man. I don't want to know. As far as I know, y'all flew in here. Wings are hanging in the foyer. Halos out there. You got your harp ready to go. As far as I know, it's the greatest church that God ever put on earth. I'm just telling you, you are peoples, and peoples will be peoples. Am I telling you right? It works your family too, doesn't it? Some of your family, you know you're thinking about it. And some of your family just stay out of your business. Every young couple I've had, you ought to pray for me. I've had 3 weddings in a row. That's a terrible thing to do to a preacher. 3 weddings in a row. That's 3 brides, 3 directors, people you don't know coming in your church. Weddings, bless you. And I've had three weddings in a row. Listen, I tell young couples before they get married, and I'm canceling them, don't you go run home telling your mom and daddy everything goes on in your house.
Right, right.
If she burns the biscuits, don't go running home to mama's. I tell you what, I never married her if I knew she couldn't cook. I tell young couples, when you sign the dotted line, and when I pronounced you and said, you may kiss the bride, buddy, you're in the army now. Amen. You are in it, buddy. Amen. You have got. I had a young man come here the other day. I tried my best talk him in not getting married right now. It's a young couple in our church, and they're both good kids, and they love God. But I just thought, man, you better wait. You better wait. It ain't been long. He come a prancing in my office, and he said, "Preacher, I need some help." I said, "You ain't lying. I can tell that just by looking at you in church." I said, "Welcome to being married." Number one, real quickly, if it doesn't concern you, stay out of it. That's deep, isn't it? Number two, watch this. I'm talking about choose your battles wisely. Here's what Josiah should have done. Number two, decide if the battle is worth fighting. Decide if the battle is worth fighting. You know what I've learned in my life? I've learned in my life sometimes it's better just to go on and look the other way and move on down the line than it is to trying to fight a battle every time you turn around and there's another battle. Sometimes battles are just not worth fighting. You men, didn't take long to learn that, did you? Huh? Sometimes it's not worth fighting. Because either way, you're going to lose. Help me, ladies. Little amen right here. Yeah, we know. Praise God. I've been married 33 years. Ain't won a battle yet. Amen. I mean, I might leave thinking I have, but I really know I hadn't. And, hey, I'm telling you, you better choose your battles wisely. And some battles aren't worth fighting. Right? Watch now. You decide if the battle's worth fighting. Here's what the Bible says. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits where they are of God, because many false prophets are going to the world. What's causing you or me to get so worked up about this? And then here's one of the biggest questions about it all. If we win the battle, what good's going to come of it? If we win the battle, what good's going to come of it? I think about the young men and women in our nation that fought over in Desert Storm and throughout those years, and our military well able to take care of that crowd over there. One of the greatest militaries in the world. And I'm glad now that we have a man called a president that at least loves the military and loves those that are serving our country. But I think about all the bloodshed. But then I ask myself the question, what good's coming out of it? Was the battle worth fighting? I hope it was, but you have to wonder. Because when you just walk away and leave something, go back to Vietnam. Vietnam could have ended quickly. Again, the greatest military in the world. But you know what? Politicians didn't want it that way. I know, I've studied these things. Civil War, Vietnam War, I've spent time, and I'm telling you, our military was very well able to end that, and not 50,000 would have had to die. Some battles just aren't worth fighting. Don't you think about this in your daily life, walking with God. I'm a pastor, is the reason I'm preaching this. I deal with people that come into my office so messed up, fighting battles that they don't even have to fight. They don't have to fight them. Just let it go. Quit letting it eat at you. Quit letting it bother you. It's not even your world anyway. Just serve God. Enjoy the journey. Just enjoy reading your Bible and praying and going to church and living for God and witnessing to somebody. Just enjoy your life. Quit trying to fight all these battles that are not worth fighting. And even if you win it, what good's going to come of it? You ever thought about that? Even if you win the battle, I've watched families go through custody battles in court and watch one side, quote unquote, win the children. good comes of that. I'm not talking about abusive families. I'm talking about loved on both sides. What good? Who benefits? See, you've got to understand that when we serve God, we have to make sure that the battles we fight are worth fighting. And by the way, churches ought to not be fighting one another, and Christians ought to not be fighting one another. Hey, there's a devil and the demons of hell and all this world that we ought to fight and stand up against.
Right. Right.
Amen. If it doesn't concern you, stay out of it. Secondly, decide if the battle's worth fighting. Number three, and finally, are there bigger battles to fight? You know what Jesus said about the Pharisees? He said, "Ye blind guides, which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel." You know what he was saying to them? A little gnat will choke you to death. Something don't even matter. Can I just say this to you tonight? Don't get bent out of shape in your Christian life over little stuff that doesn't even matter. I don't know if I told you this story, true story. I can't tell you the name of the church because it's not a long ways from here. It is a ways from here, but not long ways. I was preaching a meeting back in one of my times when I had broke some bones, which has been a few times. And I had a cane I was walking with while my leg was healing. I was preaching in a revival meeting, and in the revival meeting, it just one night got on. I'm talking about before I preached, before any, it was on. I was up on a platform, people shouting and praising God. And man, I'm telling you, it was one of the best services in that church, and I'd been in it several years, that I'd ever been in. It got done that night. I left, went back to my church. A year later, I come back. And I preach a message on bitterness. Now, this is how bad people do in life. I got done preaching a message on bitterness, and folks were getting some help and getting right with one another, and folks were doing it, and it was wonderful. But in the service, a lady come to me and said, "Preacher, could I speak to you a moment?" And I said, "Yes, ma'am." I'd seen her, but I didn't know her name. I didn't think I'd ever even talk to her. She said, "I've got to apologize to you." And I said, "Well, thank you." You know how when people say that to you, you're going like, "Man, what'd I do?" I'm going back while she's talking. I don't even hear, all I hear is like Charlie Brown, "Wop, wop, wop," because I'm trying to think, "What did I do?" She said, "You remember last year?" And she told about the service. And I said, "Yeah, I remember that." She said, "Do you remember what you did?" Shouting. Hollered, "Amen." I said, "Ma'am, honestly, wasn't that a night I didn't even preach?" She said, "Yeah." This, you got to remember, a year later. She said, "When you got happy, do you remember throwing your cane in the choir loft?" I mean, I must have had it on my hand and said, "Hallelujah!" And the cane went in the choir loft. Didn't hit a light, didn't bust a window, it just landed on a chair. I said, "Man, to be honest, no." She said, "You did." And then she said something to me that blew my mind. She said, "I've been bitter and haven't been able to worship for a year." Now, at first, you know how preachers are. We want to look at somebody like that and we want to say, "Ma'am," in our ministry, we have to say, "Ma'am, I'm so sorry. I hate that." And then I thought, I ain't doing it. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. So, and my wife says, in my dumb, crazy way, I looked at her and said, "You've got to be kidding me. Are you telling me you ain't worshiped God in a year over me tossing a cane in a choir?" I said, "Ma'am, you really do have a problem." Are you telling me that's the biggest battle she had in her life? Can you see standing before Jesus at the Bema seat and say, Lord, I'm sorry about that year I didn't worship you, but old Chris knew that Cain. Are you with me? I mean, don't that sound a little bit, you are missing a toy in your Happy Meal when you act like that. Your baloney don't even have a first name. But do you know what? Our lives are ate up with stuff. And you know I'm telling it right. Our lives are ate up with stuff. If we just move on, we'd be so much happier and enjoy our lives. But we're fighting battles like Josiah that wasn't our battle to fight. Teenagers, listen. A lot of youth group, I guess. Here, listen, boys. I know. Most of the time, you know, man, y'all got some wild socks on. Most of the time, you just kind of plain, man. I mean, you just come on now. Most of the time, boys, you know, they can have 2 or 3, 4, 5, 6 friends and go on. And they don't really care. But, you know, girls, y'all go to the bathroom together. I mean, y'all, you know, I'm never going to look at Brother Davey and say, Brother Davey, I got to go to the bathroom. You want to go? Am I telling it right? But now, girls, oh, we're going to the bathroom. Wait on us. Now, I don't go in there because I don't know what y'all do, but that concerns me. Am I telling it right? Y'all know I'm telling it right, don't you? Y'all knows I'm telling it right. Now, watch it. But girls, y'all can't have 5, 6 friends. No. You got a best friend. At least today. But now tomorrow might be another best friend. Then you go home and tell your mama, I don't like Sally no more. You know what she did? And all of a sudden, there's 5 girls in the youth group mad at Sally because you got a problem. And they can't mind their own business. Am I preaching right, Rochester? I listen to you sing. You listen to me preach. Listen to me tonight. I love you. That may have been in my early ministry. I might have had some meanness in me, but I'll be honest with you. I'm way past that. I don't want to be mean. I just want to help folk. You know, I want people to like me and give me good love offers. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you got to drive down the road. You might as well drive down the road with money in your pocket. Somebody say amen. By the way, that was a Joe Arthur statement, all right? But don't you listen to me. Gateway. This is home crowd pretty much. Let me say this to you tonight. Don't fight battles that aren't yours. Don't get involved in people's business that's not yours. Don't get involved in the preacher dealing with things he's got to deal with if it's not you. Well, I just really don't think he should have got on so-and-so like that. You voted him, he's your pastor. And you ought to believe he's a man of God and following the Lord and trying to do what's right. Say amen right there. I got a message on the benefits of backing your pastor. I got a problem preaching that one right after this one tonight. But can I say this to you? Maybe he had a reason he had to talk to him. You don't know. Maybe they rode by his house and shot a shotgun in the window. You have no idea what they did, right? But all you know is this. He ought not talk to them like that. Y'all stand to your feet so you can get encouraged. Thank y'all for listening. Brother Davey, I was sitting over there a while ago and I was just flipping. I told Brother Tim's son here, I told him, I picked up a composition book at my desk at my office of old sermons and I hadn't even looked at it in a long time. And I was just looking through them, flipping through them a while ago. And for some reason, I flipped across a sermon and the sermon title said, The church that used to be. Matter of fact, I think it's the church at Sardis. And thou had a name. And I looked at that and I got to think about all the churches across this country that could be something for God. But because people could not mind their own business, it ruined them. And now pews are empty, spirits gone, and revival is no more. Preacher, you travel this country. I have pastors ride me by all the time and make comments of it. Boy, that used to be. That used to be. That used to be. Do you know how many churches would just rejoice half the night to have as many people as you have here tonight in one section? And you look on this Wednesday night, and a godly heritage.
Yes, sir.
The last thing you would ever want is because you, like Josiah, got in somebody else's battle.
Yep.
And it ruined you. I want you to listen to me. I'm done. I want you to understand tonight, I'm not preaching this because of anything. I don't know, you know, I know nothing. I mean, I know a few things. About every church I go in, I can pick up on it. But, you know, this is one of my favorite places to come. Y'all know that. Y'all know that. I'd be crazy to preach something down here. I thought, going to get me booted out for the weekend. But don't you listen to me. Maybe it's in your family. Maybe it has nothing to do with church. But you just got a battle you got to let go. Maybe it's in your marriage. Maybe in your marriage you've been going through a battle, but then you think something, you know what? Maybe that battle's not so big a deal, and even if I win it, what good's going to come of it? What good's going to come of it if I win it? Preacher, aren't we having revival? Yes. Yes, we are. And we're walking by the laver right now before we go into Holy Holies. And that laver was a piece of polished material that was like a mirror.
That's right.
And we got to see ourselves before we can ever see Him.
Amen.
And you know where I heard that preached the first time? Was in a meeting in another church by Pastor Ray Stewart. Walking by the laver, I'll never forget it.
Yeah.
I was sitting there when I heard him preach it. And I thought, you know what? Before I go into God's house, let me take a look in the mirror and see if anything needs fixing. Bless his heart. Thank God for that.
Yeah.
Would you bow your heads with me just a minute? And I haven't tried to be long. Matter of fact, I think about 35 minutes, 35, 40, 35 hopefully. Would your heads bowed and your eyes closed tonight? Can I ask you a question? Is anybody in here going through a battle right now? Say, preacher, I'm going through a battle right now in my life. Whether it don't have to be church, obviously. It could be anywhere in your life, but I'm just going through a battle and through a tough time and just going through something I wish I didn't have to go through. And I'd appreciate, preacher, if you'd pray for me. Boy, that's a lot of hands. Wow. Wow. You can put your hand down. Thank you so much for being honest. How many of you tonight? Church, you know I love you. You know I love you. I love Gateway. How many of you tonight would say, preacher, sometimes I have a real difficult time just pulling my little wagon. My life would be a whole lot happier if I just let other people live their lives and I do my best to live mine. And preacher, I want to be the kind of Christian that doesn't cause a problem but just prays and stays out of anybody else's business. Preacher, would you pray for me? I want to be that kind of Christian. Would you pray for me? Boy, that's a lot. I'm not even going to try to see how many hands up tonight. You can put them down. I want to ask one question. I don't think I preached this, Brother Turners, and I preached it in my church. I want to ask you a question tonight while your heads are bowed. Has anybody in this place been hurt because somebody got in a battle in your life that they didn't need to be in and you got hurt? Slip your hand up. Yeah, that's right. That'd be half of a congregation. So Brother Hazel must be preaching
yes, sir.
Something right.
Amen.
look this way. Just a moment, Brother Tim's going to sing our invitation. Listen to me. When I was younger, Brother Mayo, in the ministry, I caused so many of my own problems. There's no telling what the church I pastored could have been if I just hadn't caused my own battles. Young, immature. And I look back at people sometimes that I damaged, Christians that I discouraged, that if I would have just picked my battles wisely, it'd have been a whole lot better. I've told my church this probably 20 times in the last 3 months. Enjoy your Christian life. You're going to blink your eyes one day, and this journey's going to be over. And you're going to look back at it, and you're going to say, only what I did for Christ will last. That's all that'll last. There was a lot of hands went up here tonight for a lot of different reasons. Your music director is going to sing. It doesn't matter. You say, well, what will somebody think if I come to the altar? It's none of their business. Sister, my wife grew up in a church, a little country church in Virginia. Brother Davey knows the area. They had a new pastor and his wife to come in when my wife was an early teenager. That church, Brother Mayo, not like Daniel, no one ever went to the altar. No one ever moved an invitation. Never, never. After that pastor came there, Miss Angel, and his wife, one Sunday morning, the pastor's wife, evidently God dealt with her about something. And she walked out and walked down to the altar to pray. She didn't know. She just thought it's what you do, right? You go pray. My wife said 47 rumors went through that church. She was cheating on her husband. She was embezzling something somewhere. It ruined her. Whose business was it when she went to that altar? Hers and God's. She got ruined. Brother Tim, you sing tonight. God can help you win your battles. He's mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. You mind the Lord tonight. There must have been 100 and some hands raised for whatever reason tonight. You need to pray. We're asking God for revival. You mind the Lord tonight, Brother Tim.